Hey friends, thanks so much for tuning into the Inner Revolution podcast. Are you ready to be changed? Well, let's go.
Yeah. Okay, Psalm 16. Let's dive there in there for a minute. Just as God leads you, prayers make the difference. Prayer is the real work, isn't it? The devil always wants to diminish our prayer life, but it is what moves the heart of God, right? Really, it really is. We can certainly have a lot of effort, but without prayer, it's meaningless, actually. So I loved last night's message on joy, didn't you? Boy, that was very timely. But Pastor was reading through Psalm 16, and it's one of my favorite chapters. And I'd like to look at one verse today that may encourage our hearts. You know, I've just been thinking, you know, our Christian life is a process, isn't it? I mean, we know in the finished work that we are positionally perfect, we are positionally righteous, we are positionally in a place of great favor. But life's a process, isn't it? We're constantly learning Christ. We're learning hopefully we're learning how much we need him. The sooner we learn that, the better life will be, or the more meaningful it'll be, because we're constantly being conformed into his image. And just kind of going over that thought Pastor Schaller had a few weeks back about the two sides of the coin, faith and doubt. You know, we're constantly in that tandem, right? We're see things darkly. They're like a little puzzle to us. And every day as we, in Psalm 16:8, we're going to talk about this, as we set the Lord, as we look into his face, really what the verse is saying, you know, the mystery of who God is makes life make more sense, right? Because life doesn't make sense without the mystery, right? It certainly doesn't. I mean, like Pastor said last night, we can have that line, that definitive line, that natural line, things that are predictable, known, those things that are, in our mindset, credible. But then there's the dotted line of faith. Remember that? I love that. When you look at the dotted line of faith, it just expands our life, and we see things from an eternal viewpoint, which really makes life full of joy, even when things are not joyful. So Psalm 16, let's look at, you know, David is saying, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, do we do that all the time? I mean, I would love to say every moment of the day I'm doing this, but that would raise a question. That would raise a question of reality. Because we look at a lot of things. Our eyes, the windows of our soul, right? Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes in chapter 31, because he knew that what he was looking at was the direction that he would walk in. Just like our ears, what we listen to is what shapes our heart. So our eyes are really important, right? They really are, because what you're looking at is ultimately the direction you will walk in. What you're looking at will ultimately be the place of receptivity or receiving. So I love this prayer. And it's interesting in the Hebrew how it's unpacked, but David is saying in so many words here, this word set, to set the Lord. I have set the Lord. And the writer is saying, I am becoming what I'm looking at. That's pretty much what he's saying there. He says, to set means I am putting something and I'm looking into the reflection of something, right? Just like we look into a mirror and we see our beautiful reflection. Amen? Amen! You're supposed to say amen. Amen! We are beautifully, wonderfully crafted and made here, right? So it's so valuable to understand this word set, because it literally means I'm looking into the image of God in which we're shaped, in which we're made. And I've been studying recently about the image of God, and it's one thing to know who we are in Christ, but it's a whole nother thing to have the image of God in action in our life. And what does that really mean? Well, I think this verse and this chapter is super packed, and we see that verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, my flesh will rest in hope, right? And it's all because of the progression of this chapter, but I think verse 8 is key. What am I looking at? What is before me? Now, we know in ministry that before we minister to people, we must first look to God. We must first see people through Christ. Otherwise, there is no ministry. Otherwise, it's just going to be criticism and correction. But when we see people through Christ, there's ministry. There'll be love. There'll be grace. There will be mercy, right? I remember something Pastor Shabelli said years ago. It's like again, we look at our problems second, and we look at Christ first. We look at Christ, get the orientation, and then we look at our problems second. And how often is it the other way around, right? We've set our problems before our face, and we are definitely moved. We are definitely panicking. We are definitely reacting. We're definitely complaining. But David is saying, I have a paradigm shift. I have a priority of putting you, Lord, first. Or in the Hebrew, it says, I have looked into your face. I've looked into your face. Now, isn't it good when you think of someone's face? I mean, it's beautiful, isn't it? You know, we got so many people buried in their phones today, and you can't see their face, right? Sometimes I want one of those phone jammers. Just jam all the signals, right? But when someone looks at your face, it's beautiful, isn't it? I believe there's 43 muscles in your face, if I read that correctly, right? And you use most of them to smile, right? Right? Some of you are smiling. You're exercising, right? My wife told me a funny joke the other day. She goes, she wants to call our, we don't have a dog, but this is the joke. My son actually told my wife, and my wife repeated to me, I want to have a dog named 5 Miles, so every day I can say I walked 5 miles. Okay. A little bit of a ting. Okay, back to the message. Okay. Smile, like people's countenance is like, there's so much communicated, right? They say that 55% of communication is body language, right? It's, you know, 38% is your tone and only 8% is your content. So you ever talk to somebody and you're talking blue in the face? It's probably because they're, you know, tuned into your tone and certainly watching your body language, and they're saying something doesn't add up here, right? But our face, our body language. And so David is saying, I'm looking into the face of Christ. Now, many artists have tried to draw out the face of God, and that's interesting to me, right? Do we really know what Christ looks like, right? Well, Revelation chapter 1 gives a great explanation, right? His hair is white as wool, and his face is the sun in all of its strength. I mean, that's his face. And no one has ever seen God and lived. So when you think about looking into the face of Christ, you're seeing these holy attributes of God that are super powerful and all-encompassing. But David is saying, I'm looking into his face, which is the reflection of perfection, right? So when you and I look into the Bible, this is really the face of God. James chapter 1:25 says we look into the mirror. Let's actually read that. That's a good reference. James chapter 1. This is why Bible reading and Bible meditation, we're not looking for accumulation, right? It doesn't matter how much Bible I know. In one sense, it is important, but it's how I'm connecting to the author of the Bible that's more important, right? Because we can read one verse and be there for a year, and it could speak to us differently every single time, right? We don't know what the next word, the next verse, the next... We just don't know what it's going to do to us as we're connected to the author of the Bible, right? But certainly we want to have a diet of the word, don't misunderstand me, but more than accumulation, I want connection. I want revelation. I want the personal action of God happening in my life. So he's saying here, 1:22, be a doer of the word. 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And this is what we do all the time. We observe ourselves and then we go away and immediately forget what kind of man we are, right? So that's interesting, isn't it? We can hear a great message. We observe it. And that word observing means we simply glance at it. We recognize it, right? It's like a quickie, you know? But the idea here is that our setting of the face means that we are gazing. We're taking a long look, like it's penetrating through my mind and my heart, and there's an impact. This is why meditation and quiet times are so valuable, because the quick glances, we forget, right? Retention's a big deal. Like, I don't know about you, like... with information the way it is these days and just opportunity, it's amazing how things get pushed out of your mind very quickly, isn't it? Like, it's kind of scary forgetting people's names that you've known for 20 years. It's like, that's not good. I just give people new names now, you know. Anyway. But when there's a personal impression, you remember people's names. I'm always amazed at Pastor Schaller. He remembers people's names. I was at the door one time when he knew somebody's name that never introduced himself to him. And it freaked her out. She's like, how do you know my name? I was right there. And I was like, yeah, Pastor, how do you know her name? But it was the Spirit, right? But just to say, when you remember things that are personal, right? You remember things that have a personal impact. So looking into the law of liberty, what happens? We discover ourself. We discover our purpose. We discover his image in action. And we don't forget as much, right? We don't forget his love. We don't forget his grace. We don't forget that his tender mercies are towards us. I had breakfast with a young man today, and I was really edified by our conversation and just the way he talked. You could just hear the grace pour out of his lips. I thought, oh, this guy's really got it. He's really got it. He's caught it. And anyway, let's turn back to Psalm 16, because I want to just think about this with you. So every day, we just like we love looking into a kid's face. Don't you love looking into the kid's face? There's wonder. There's no filter. You know exactly where they are, right? Good, bad, and full of terror, right? But there's innocence in their face, right? They've not learned to be complicated. I think as adults, we've learned to be complicated, right? And thankfully, we can unlearn that by being grace receivers, right? And grace initiators. But I love this. I have looked into the Lord's face, because it's right in front of me. It's right in front of me. And I think what we're seeing here is that there's so many things that try to hijack or block that gaze, right? Anxiety, for instance. Anxiety is one of those cravings of the heart because of fear. It's interesting. I was reading this recently, like fear creates a craving. And that might be an interesting thought, because we think of craving something good or craving something that we need or craving something that we want. But actually, fear creates wrong cravings that lead to idolatry. So that's a loaded thought that that can really, like anxiety, which we all experience maybe to some extent, it's I'm looking into the wrong face. I'm looking into the wrong place of maybe I'm trusting myself, or maybe we're fearing man, or maybe we're trying to grapple with things that are unknown and we're trying to figure them out like a Rubik's Cube, right? Ever work with a Rubik's Cube? How many have patience to do that, right? I can throw them pretty far. No, just kidding. but my son loves puzzles. So it's like, you know, you're geared that way. You're wired that way. But sometimes life is a puzzle that cannot be figured out. It's a process that can't be shortened. One writer says that it's like a yo-yo. And if you cut this, you know, the yo-yo goes down and it's that long string and then it goes back up. You ever try to cut or make that string shorter? What happens? It's not good. It's like quick. It doesn't really work right, right? Like there's no shortcuts. And this is the beautiful thing. God is saying there's no shortcuts. The only way forward is looking at me. Looking at me, Jesus says. And when you look at me, you will not forget my image in you that's actively being worked out, right? That's why grace is so valuable in our life, because it works out our salvation. It's grace in action, right? So I have set the Lord. It's a decision. I have decided to look away from myself, look away from those things that create anxiety. And by the way, anxiety is very interesting. I've been studying this, like, because it's a rooted fear or the action of or control that God says, you know, I will control that, or I will be faithful there, and relinquishing our trust in ourself and our ability to control will help us with our anxiety. All right. That idea of trying to be in a controlling nature or fearing a potential outcome of something that may never happen. You ever do that? Fearing something, and it's like, and at the end of it, you're like, oh my gosh, that, you know, it was a false evidence of something that was real, but was not real at all. It's an illusion, right? So when we look into the face of Christ, what do we see? Well, we see a couple of things. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. These are verses we know, but I think they'll be helpful for us, because we can look into the face of news. We can look into the face of a carnal person. We can look into the face of our past. What is being reflected? What is bouncing back? What is speaking to us? It's literally the direction that we are growing in, all right? You ever talk to somebody that knows more about their problem than the promises of God, right? They're almost intoxicated. And that's all of us at times, right? We're, you know, our mouth is moving 100 miles an hour, and God is saying, I'm over here, right? And my face is towards you. Here's some beautiful verses. Numbers 6:25, my face is shining towards you, and the light of my countenance will lead you, right? Psalm 31:16, another beautiful verse, like God's face is a face of love, right? But his face is also against the evil, right? Proverbs 27:19, my face will reflect where my heart is. Very interesting verse, Proverbs 27:19. My face will reflect where my heart is, right? So I was talking with a brother recently about this word calm. That's a beautiful word, right? C-A-L-M, calm, being calm. You ever seen a duck on the pond? They look so calm and serene, right? You look underneath and their feet are moving 100 miles an hour, right? Nothing calm about that duck, right? Because he's on a mission. He's moving, right? that's like us, right? But God says, I want to bring a calm into your spirit. You can be very active, but you're being moved in another spirit, one writer says. Like, nothing wrong with activity as long as you're motivated and moving in the right spirit. We can be sitting on a beach, and our mind and our heart can be moving 1,000 miles an hour, and we can be very, very restless. Environment has very little to do with it, actually. It's my condition of the heart. And this changes by whose face we're looking into. The face of love, the face of grace, the face of truth, the face of loving kindness. Like, whose faith? When we look into someone that loves us, their face reflects, right, our love, right? The glory of the woman is the man. So, the woman is reflecting how the man is initiating to them. We are responders, right? So a lot of marriage challenges are due to the fact that the initiations are wrong, right? Pretty much. So anyway, think about that duck. Are we calm? And we are calm when we know that God is in control and God is able and God is before us and God is behind us and God is above us and God is below us, right? That's a beautiful way to Philippians 4:4, relax in the Lord. And again, I say relax. That rejoice is a word, relax, in the Greek. It's relax. By the way, guys, don't tell your wife to relax. That doesn't go well, right? Honey, would you just relax? Things might get a little bit crazy. Personal experience, right, Donnie? Thanks for that. The wives can say that to the guys. Maybe. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is good. So we look away from ourselves and look under Christ, right? Hebrews 12:1. These are verses we know, but isn't it edifying to wake up and just look into his face? And really, I want to say, what is the face of God? It's really this book. It's the mirror of God. It's the mirror of the law of liberty, this book. And no wonder the weakness of the church in general, universally, is because the church has left the authority of the Bible. They've walked away from the authority of Scripture, and they're looking into other faces. And this is why we are Bible-centered and we're in a Word of God ministry. Why? Because the Bible is our only authority, right? It's awesome. That's what we need. So 3:18, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What are we looking at? We're looking at who God is. How do we discover ourselves? We discover God. How do we have strength over anxiety? We discover that God is in control, that we can trust God, that he is never going to fail us. He is going to be faithful from everlasting to everlasting. And by the way, we control very little. Have you noticed that? We don't even control what goes on in our own body, right? It's like, that doesn't mean don't take care of yourself, but it just means let's have an understanding that, control really is an illusion. But we can, like, we know we can't control what happens to us, but we can control one thing. I should clarify this. We can control how we respond. Our response is so valuable. And how do we respond? Well, we're looking into the face of Christ. We're learning his face. We're learning his eyes like flames of fire. We're learning his countenance is a countenance that shines greater than the sun, right? We're learning his mouth, right? We're learning his countenance, right? Another good verse is 1 Chronicles 16:11. We seek his face. Like, Lord, what are you looking at today? Lord, what are you thinking about today? Lord, what is touching your heart today? Lord, what is reflecting your value system? Well, he seek and sought the lost, right? Why? Because that was important to him, right? Anyway, we are seeing his glory, and then we're being transformed into that same image. And this is the answer to addiction. This is the answer to besetting sin. It isn't like fixing yourself or fixing myself. It's beholding the right image, right? Remember Pastor Stevens years ago talked about the demonic imagery, and he gave a demonic name of an army called Therapsin. Anybody remember that? Therapsin? Oh, that's a good study. I think it was called Therapsin. No. Anyways, it was the demon of imagery, and the idea was that what you look at, you become. And that can happen both spiritually and evil, into evil. So, like, what I behold is what I'm becoming. So this is a very important thought to make sure that we put him before us first, right? And maybe today we have 1,000 other things we're looking at, and we recognize that, we acknowledge that, but then we turn. We say, okay, Lord, I'm going to look to you today, and I'm just going to be still, and I'm going to let your calmness conquer my chaos, actually, right? We're going to be moved in another spirit. Doesn't mean we're sitting on the couch eating Doritos, which is not a bad idea, right? But we're diligent just under another spirit, right? We're moved by another spirit. All right, let me close with this. We're transformed, not conformed. We're not cookie cutters, but we're transformed. An image in action, right? That's why the process never ends in one sense. You're becoming more like Christ on a daily basis. But on the flip side, we are Christ, right? So it's a beautiful tandem, isn't it? All right, last verse, 1 Corinthians 13. How you doing? Are you edified yet? I can't stop until you're edified. All right. Preach. Okay, Leah says I got another hour here. I love this, aren't you? It's like, I've set the Lord before, and therefore I will not be moved. In Romans it says, I will never be ashamed, right? Why? Because the reflection I'm looking at is really who we are. It's that special comic. I'll never forget it. It's like the cat looking into the mirror and the reflection is a lion. You remember that? I love that. You get this little itty bitty thing and they're looking in the mirror and the reflection is a lion. That's you. That's who you and I are. Our reflection is the glory of God. And what better way to conquer a bad self-image is to see us in glory, right? Or to speak to ourselves, not just listen to ourselves, to actually agree and say, Lord, above everything today, I'm going to learn your reflection, right? Remember counseling a young lady that was cutting herself, just had this... And that's common, unfortunately, just this self-loathing because of so much anger, and we navigated a few things, we analyzed a few things, but analyzing doesn't change the person, it just defines the problem. But we began to talk about how God sees her and how God values her and how God has you're made in the image of God. And what does that really mean? She began to learn her new reflection, and God healed her. God healed her. So let's learn our new reflection. Let's learn it again, right, in a fresh way. I know I'm talking to the choir today, but that's what our nation needs. That's what our city needs, right? That's what our young people need. Instead of learning the streets, like gang life, very interesting how they learn and they act out, right? You ever studied gang violence or gang activity? It's young people learning bad habits and learning tremendous insecurity in action, right? This so much we could say. All right. 1 Corinthians 13. So, I don't know about you, I like to read Revelations 1, and that's one of the most beautiful descriptions of Christ, and I just encourage you in your prayer life maybe to read those verses, and then maybe think about that as you're praying, and that reflection is pretty powerful, right? Eyes like fire, hair like wool, countenance like the sun. It will produce, in the right sense, the fear of the Lord. All right, time's already gone. So 1 Corinthians 13, 12, we'll just close here. But look at this. This is our life every day. We see in a mirror dimly, but then eventually in glorification we'll see him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know also as I am known. So which reflection are we going to learn today, right? His, amen, the glory of God. And when we look away and get in trouble, we get anxious or fearful or critical or guilt-ridden, we can say, okay, that's the image of my past. That's the image of my sin. That's the image of my old nature. And David is saying, I've set the Lord before you, Lord. I need to look into you. I need to know you. I need to learn you. And then what will happen? I will not be moved out of my place, the place of grace. So, precious Father, thank you today. Lord God, help us. Help us, Lord, to do the long gaze, to reinspect, to take time and learn you again. And help us, Father, as the psalmist says, I delighted in you, and you caused me to, the anxieties of my soul, Lord, we delight in you today, and you diminish those voices. Thank you, God. You heal the brokenhearted. You're close to those that cry out to you. So we ask that you do that today. Keep us in our place of grace today. Keep us in our place of looking for love and mercy. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You want to talk about this?
Thanks, friends, for joining us for another episode of the Inner Revolution podcast. Please find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and subscribe so that you don't miss an episode.